you will allow me this morning to do something a little different with the sermon this morning. I'd like to give for you all a story about Billy and his grandpa. Come on. And with that, the two of them were off. Little Billy had just pulled on his boots and adjusted his ball cap when Grandpa gave him the whistle to get going. They trudged through the door and out into the open field. Blue sky, not a cloud. This is the kind of day he liked. He paused for a moment, lost a few steps to Grandpa, whose downbeat cadence of a pace never slowed, not for a minute. Billy looked up and breathed in deeply. Yep, he smelled it. Summertime. Not a word to describe it, just a smell, just a feeling. Sometimes he thought summertime spoke a language all its own, like one of those strangers from a faraway place, like Ohio and such. But he was speaking it. He was living it. He and Grandpa entered the woods, their normal place to gather berries and tell tales. He liked Grandpa. Grandpa was bigger than Papa, older than Papa, and in a lot of ways more Papa-like than Papa. The woods was their area, to laugh and to listen to each other and to the world. Billy found their usual spot, and he sat down on an old oak stump. Nope. Keep going. Billy looked up and watched as Grandpa kept moving further into the woods. He got up and followed, a little shaken. What's going on, Grandpa? We ain't stopping to build a fire and whittle and chat like we do. But not a word. And so it was for a little while as Billy and Grandpa trudged through parts of the woods that Billy had not ever seen. For example, he had not seen the river that cut through the far side. Nothing compared to the creek behind his house, not deep enough to swim in, probably nothing much in there to catch, but it was new. They crossed at a shallow point, hopping on some rocks to stay dry. Billy watched as Grandpa ably leapt from rock to rock to rock, jumping higher and farther than any little boy he had ever seen. Oh, to be like him one day. Grandpa was old, too. Like at least 35, he thought. Badly old. But even though he was all crinkly like a used piece of tinfoil, he sure acted like a kid. Finally, the sun broke through again, and they passed beyond the far side of the forest. Billy was too busy looking up to notice where he was stepping and twisted his foot a bit on a fallen branch. And then, there ahead of him, was a giant, a dinosaur rock. The tall mountain he'd only seen from his house. From his house he could measure it with just the knuckle on his right thumb. But here, wow. Here it seemed like the tippy top could touch the sky itself. He couldn't even see the sun where he was. Let's go, said Grandpa. Grandpa started up a little dirt trail that wound all around, up and down. And after a while, Billy began to realize how tired he was getting. They had been out for a good hour now, and Billy's legs began to wobble and wiggle a little bit with the steep climb. Grandpa motioned him forward. Here we are. And with that, Billy looked out. They were standing on the very top. Billy stood there motionless, his eyes poking through trees that seemed only like sprouts, darting along a faint river that looked more like a coon scratch than the rushing water that they'd crossed earlier. He looked far and he looked near. He looked up and he looked down. And he kept looking down and down. Billy realized he was afraid of heights, so he stopped looking down. He stood there for a few moments, not saying a word. And then he yelled, there's the house! and the barn and the swimming hole. Billy was making up the part about the swimming hole. He couldn't really see it worth a lick, but he wanted Grandpa to think that his eyesight was better than average. So he looked back at Grandpa to see if his little tail caught hold, only to notice that Grandpa had been sitting behind him. "Let's talk, son." Grandpa called him son all the time. Just like he called Papa son, and just like Papa called Billy son. It seemed like everybody called everybody son. Just then, Billy remembered the time he went into Old Chap's General Store in town and yelled out at the top of his lungs with all the vocal firepower his 7-year-old musket mouth could muster, "Hey, son!" And he watched as about a dozen people in that store turned and looked at him. Proved his theory right, he thought. Even the cranky Miss Hitchens goes by son. But this time, Grandpa said son a little differently, in a bit more serious a tone than what he was used to. So Billy went back and he sat down next to him. "I never brought you here before, but now's a good day to tell you about the old rock here." Billy unzipped his carrying pouch and started munching on the apple that Mama had given him. In between his thunderous munches and crunches, Billy listened intently to his grandpa as he told the stories of how the mountain he was sitting on had served in the great wars of the past. How our armies could get on top of the mountain and see far into the countryside. Billy looked deep into the land as far as his eyes could take him. And he could make out a wagon or two on a road real far away. "From here," Grandpa said, "the enemy couldn't surprise us. We were ready because we saw him coming." Grandpa went on talking more about the war like he always liked to do at supper. Billy listened closely, not noticing most of his apple was turning brown from neglect. Grandpa would use long words and short words. Many Billy didn't understand. War terms, Billy found out later. Grandpa lived through the wars, and he loved to tell stories with more gyrating and gesticulating than when he would tell any other kind of story. Grandpa always got excited telling his tales, and Billy liked to listen with his eyes. "This mountain, this old rock, this is a special place. It's protected our people for many, many years. From enemies, from the great floods. On the far side is a hang where we'd go to get shelter from the storms and the lightning. This here's our rock, Billy. It's part of our family." There was some silence. Grandpa let the words sink in a while. Then Billy resumed munching his apple. Why was Grandpa telling him this? Billy got up enough courage to walk to the edge again. And he dropped his apple core. Thought for a moment how much it would hurt to be that apple core, and how many seconds it took to hit the ground. Then he thought about how high he was. Taller than the trees. Taller than the silo at the barn. Taller than any old enemy that might come up against him. The mountain made him feel tall, like a dinosaur or a monster. And then there was a feeling that bubbled inside him. Started in his belly, kind of moved up to his chest, and then it filled his fingers and his toes. He felt, for a moment, alive. Bigger than life. Up on the mountain, he felt like that mountain. "This is who you are, son. This is who we all are. See, up here, we're bigger than trees, bigger than the animals. We're bigger than the problems of down below and anything that old Mother Nature can throw at us." Grandpa's words sunk in deep. Billy went back and stood over next to Grandpa, his eyes wide open, motionless. He felt higher than the earth, a tad lower than the sky. Worlds came together here. It seemed like Billy was standing on a place that was special. Divine is the best word to describe it, but Billy didn't know what that meant. All he knew was that the mountaintop was a place he liked to be, a place that all of life liked to be. Grandpa kept talking, using more flowery words, more animations and gestures. He used words like identity and existence and phrases like who you are and never forget. Billy heard most of the words, understood some. Mostly he enjoyed the feeling that still filled his body. The feeling like he was where he wanted to be, on the mountain. And he didn't want to leave. After a while, there was more silence. Billy and Grandpa's shadow got longer and longer as moments ticked by. Then Grandpa leaned over and said one more thing to Billy. He said, "Remember one more thing, son. The most important thing about your life. Don't worry about what you run from. Worry about what you run to. The first thing happens all the time. Can't control it. The second thing, you have a choice. And that makes you who you are." Billy kicked some dirt and thought for a minute. He had no idea what Grandpa was talking about. Don't worry about what you run from, only what you run to. He reviewed it a few times in his mind, the idea not getting any clearer, but he supposed it was an adult sounding enough that he needed to tuck it away for the future. So they started down again and headed home. From that day on, Billy would never forget the first day he went to the rock. That's what he called it from then on. He drew pictures of it all the time in his mind, and he talked about it with whoever would listen. As he got older, Billy became Mr. William, and he owned his own business in town. Many times in his later years, he experienced the growing pains and strains of daily living. He had a brush or two with some bad associates. Mama and Papa split up after years of struggle behind closed doors. Just all came at once and took Billy by surprise. Then Grandpa passed away. And that was the tough one. Billy had a lot of buddies, but very few friends in his life. Grandpa had been one of them. But with every problem that came up, Billy knew where to turn. Just as Grandpa said, he figured it out now. It's not what you run from, but what you run to that makes you who you are. And Billy always ran to the rock. He'd make the hike up on his own several times, sometimes 3-4 times a week in the summertime. And there he'd remind himself of the stories that Grandpa would tell before he died, of how the rock had protected his family from the enemies, how it became an important part of his family's history. But more importantly, Billy would go to the rock when he was feeling down, overwhelmed, when life down below got to be too much. No matter what went on in his life, the challenges he faced, he turned east, through the trees and over that little creek, to go to that place where he felt at home. It was always there. But the rock became more than that. More than his protection. More than a place to escape life. The rock became life itself for Billy. Because up here, he knew who he was. A child of the rock. And now Billy was a grandpa himself, telling his kids about the day his grandpa introduced him to the rock and how it changed his life. Billy made it a point to make sure that each one of his kin knew exactly who they were, what family they belonged to, and how important the mountain was to them. But at this moment, Billy was alone, on the rock by himself. And he zipped open his carry pouch, and he took out his Bible. He turned to the 71st chapter and he read, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me, O Lord, a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.